following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
There goes the Daverhood. Welcome to Dave's Gone By, music, comedy, talk radio, and more. Produced by Total Theater, hosted by me, and brought to you every week by our sponsor, Berkshire Financial Group, for all your mortgage needs. And with a little help from our friends, the Tondura Grill and Hewlett Minuteman Press. It's Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, Thursday evening. This may not be news to you, but it's actually big news for this program, Dave's Gone By. This is our new time slot, brand spanking new. And if you've ever had a brand spanking, you know just how erotic that can be. That's right, since last fall, Dave's Gone By has been heard on this radio station on Monday nights. And it was a great night. We had a nice time slot. I got a terrific lead-in from Joe Salzone during his WGBB Tonight gig. And it was a good way to start the week. People could tune in after their first day back at work, because Mondays are the worst, we all know that. And they get a laugh, a little entertainment, maybe a new song they found catchy. Whatever it is people get from this radio show that keeps them coming back week after week for more exquisite punishment. I'm on a very S&M theme at the moment, I do not know why, but thank you, everyone listening, for coming back to this program, following us to this new time slot, Thursday nights, 7 to 8 p.m., on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com. Now, I admit, I didn't really want to move from Monday nights. It's not like I jumped at the chance of a new time slot or I saw an opening on Thursdays and ran to the station manager yelling, "Yes, yes, put me here. I was meant to be Thursday man." But radio stations, like TV stations, tend to work seasonally. That's why you'll hear about summer replacements, new fall lineups, and new episodes starting in the spring. It's kind of like house cleaning, with things shifting around and programmers tinkering, looking for just the right mix. Dave's Gone By is one of the more popular shows on WGBB, so there was a real effort to keep the program in prime time. And I'm thrilled that was able to work out. And as I said, now that I'm here on Thursdays, there's definitely much to recommend a new slot. It's closer to the weekend, so people are in a mellower frame of mind. Maybe they're not at the office as late, so they're on the road, listening on the car radio, or at home, finishing dinner and tuning in their receiver, or listening on the internet. Don't forget that if your reception is poor, or you're driving to an area where you'll be out of range for WGBB, you can always listen in via the web. Just go to the website for this program, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, and click on the hyperlink for WGBB. It'll bring you to the Listen Live page. You click there, and in a minute or two, you'll hear my voice coming out of your computer speakers. Your computer doesn't even have to be on. You don't even have to own a computer. You can draw a picture of a computer in the dust on your basement floor, and if you scratch out a button that says Listen Live, you can click on that. And magical as it seems, my voice will come welling up through your floorboards, up through the balls of your feet, and into your very soul. It's a kind of voodoo, or in my case, doo-doo, that I do so well. Again, the website is hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. And on there, you can find out more about the show if this is your first time listening. In fact, the website is so amazingly well put together, you can find out more about the show even if this is your second or third time listening. You'll also see photos, an index of previous episodes. We've had 71 of them, by the way. Each and every one a gem. Well, some were cubic zirconia, but Joan Rivers zirconia, not Rhonda Shear zirconia. We do have some standards, and we started those standards back in October 2002. Dave's Gone By began as a late-night weekend show, Sunday nights. Then we moved to earlier Sunday evenings. Then it was the Monday slot, and now, Thursdays, 7 o'clock, here we are with you till 8 p.m. And right about now, if you're not familiar with Dave's Gone By, you might be asking yourself, one all-important question. What is this burning sensation, and did I get it from Sheila? No, I'm kidding. This is actually two questions. But unquestionably, you should know just what you're in for when you tune in every week to Days Gone By. And what are you in for? But that question has two answers. The first is that you're in for comedy, sketches, songs, routines, the weekly news gone by. You're in for talk radio, interviews, monologues, phone calls, and you're in for music. Everything from novelty songs to classic rock and a world of sound in between. In other words, the first answer is that you're in for a mix of smart talk, silly talk, serious talk, and music. The second answer about what you're in for is, I don't know. One of the key facets of this show, its raison d'etre, if you will, is that it also tries to be surprising. Just when it settles into a pattern, we try and throw something different into the mix, a new idea, a new character, an amazing guest. The format of Dave's Gone By is kept purposely mutable, so a good chunk of one episode might be given over to Broadway shows the following week. Not a peep about the theater. Instead, we do a sketch about politics, and I rant about George Bush for a while. The following week, mostly music, and so on and so forth. So, each week, a little different. Each week, something that keeps me from getting bored, you, hopefully, from getting bored with me. And who is me? Well, I'm Dave. Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, theater critic, journalist, and humorist. And this is my show, Dave's Gone By, episode number 72. And I thank you all for tuning in and following this program to its new home. For your reward, this episode of Dave's Gone By will function as kind of a sampler, a poo-poo platter, if you will, of what we're all about. So we will have the News Gone By. That's kind of our flagship segment. We do it almost every week. Think of it as Weekend Update meets The Daily Show meets Howard Stern goofing on the news. We'll also have a segment called Dave Goes Off. It's basically where I get to rant and rave about stuff in my own intently amusing, sarcastic, and thoroughly adorable way. Other segments we do, though not necessarily tonight, include the World Weird Web, musical birthday salutes, trivia, Dave's Got Guests. It really is a mix. So now you pretty much know what the show is. I hope it's giving you the impetus to stay with us. And if you have an impetus problem, do see your doctor. They have all sorts of pills for that nowadays. All that's left for me to do at this point is to caution you. This being the age of the FCC run amok, I better warn you that not everything in this program is geared for family audiences. We're leading in now to Halftime Howie, a high school sports show that's on at 8 o'clock. So I know a lot of teenagers and their parents are listening, and that's great. And there's nothing in this program that's rabidly offensive or obscene, even indecent. Though your definition of indecency may be different from mine, and my guess is it's certainly different from that power-hungry chowderhead Michael Powell who runs the FCC. But if you start hearing something on this program that you believe is upsetting to your community standards, by gosh, the readiness is all. Take a moment right now to find the off switch on your radio dial. Don't turn it! Just locate it. It's usually on the front, somewhere to the right or left of the volume knob. Occasionally they get jiggy with it and they make it part of the volume knob, so don't be fooled. It's there somewhere. Now, you can leave that off knob alone for the whole show. But as soon as you start to hear me say something tasteless and disgusting, as soon as I get the first syllables out of my mouth, like suck my, or eat sh, or meh, don't wait for the FCC to fine this station $500,000. Find that off knob and twist it for all you're worth. And if you haven't learned how to twist your knob, well, that's what Playboy's for. But you know, we like to say this program is rated DGB-13. The Dave's Gone By equivalent of the movie's PG-13 is not G, but you ain't R either. And indecency? Well, that's in the ear of the beholder. You know, there's that old joke about the old couple. 90-year-old man marries an 85-year-old woman. On their honeymoon, he asks her, "Darling, how do you like the way I make love?" She tells him, "Morty, it's indecent." He replies, "Is that one word or two?" Yes, that's the level of humor here on Dave's Gone By. That's what got this program where it is today. Wedged between a gaggle of Chinese missionaries and an onslaught of mecha wannabes. But hey, it's prime time. You're here. I'm here. And let's hear a little David Bowie. People who've listened to this program for a while know I'm a fairly big Bowie fan, basically because Heroes is my favorite song in the whole world. I'm not going to play that one. There's another song off his 1999 album, Hours, that seems particularly appropriate for this new season time slot, especially since I was born on a Thursday. Thursday, January 23rd, 1964. The lyrics go, "All of my life I've tried so hard, doing my best with what I had. Nothing much happened all the same. Something about me stood apart, a whisper of hope that seemed to fail. Maybe I'm born right out of my time, breaking my life in two. Throw me tomorrow. Now that I really got a chance, throw me tomorrow. Everything's falling into place. Seeing my past to let it go, only for you I don't regret. And I was Thursday's child. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, born I was. Sometimes I cry my heart to sleep, shuffling days and lonesome nights. Sometimes my courage fills to my feet. Lucky old sun is in my sky. Nothing prepared me for your smile, lighting the darkness of my soul, innocence in your arms. Throw me tomorrow, now that I really got a chance. Throw me tomorrow. Everything's falling into place, and I was Thursday's child."
Yeah. Right about now, I could go for some chicken tikka masala, lamb biryani, or lobster and coconut cream sauce. Finally, the South Shore has a Northern Indian restaurant, Tandoor Grill, on Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center. Open 6 days a week for buffet lunch and full dinner, plus a 300-seat catering hall. Tandoor Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway, Rockville Center, 516-766-4440, or see the Indialicious menu at tandoorgrill.com. Print it, copy it, send it as a gift. All that and more at Hewlett Minuteman Press. Full-service printer, family-owned and operated since 1975. Photocopying, printing, invitations, engraved gifts. Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. Call 516-569-5577, 569-5577, or on the web at hewlett.minutemanpress.com. Mention Dave's Gone By and get a special price.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and the segment I like to call Dave Goes Off. Off on a topic, off on a rant, off on a rave. We're going to be kind of mellow this time, because again, this is our first show in the new time slot, Thursdays, 7 to 8 p.m. So if you're just tuning in now, welcome. We used to be on Mondays. Now you can hear the show every Thursday on this station. So wanted to give you all an idea of who I am and where I'm at. So if you're new to the show and you're wondering, who is this guy and what is he about and is it curable, I'm going to give you the basics, the stats, the stuff you might want to know to get you up to speed on Dave's Gone By so that you won't feel like a Johnny Come Lately or if you're a woman taking Viagra, a Jane Come Frequently. No, but, you know, just to make sure that I want you to tune in week after week and get used to the show and enjoy the show. If not, you know, you can tune left to the liberal radio station that's off the air at the moment. I hope they pay their bills and come back. Or if not, you know, there's Spanish stations up and down the dial for a little salsa. But I do some verbal salsa on this show. And so you know where I'm coming from, let me give you the stats. My name is Dave. Dave Lefkowitz was born in Brooklyn, New York, in 1964 to wonderful, wonderful, terrific, and delightful and perfect parents, Brenda and Philip Lefkowitz, who are both still with me, thank God, living on Long Island, kind of near where I live. And there's also sort of psychotherapy issues in that, but we won't get to that right now. Jewish, if you couldn't tell by my name or by the level of angst and guilt that regularly peppers my speech, went to Hebrew Day School, not really yeshiva, although I might have gone to that had I stayed in Brooklyn. You know, I am circumcised. In fact, helps me stay in touch with my Jewish roots. I get recircumcised every 3 years. You know, the cuts keep getting smaller and more painful, but hey, it's a small price to pay for being chosen. And all seriousness, Jewishness does inform my persona. I have Brooklyn roots. I moved to Long Island around my bar mitzvah time, and I'm pro-Israel and pretty strongly pro-Zionist, so you will hear that coming out in some of my rants and some of my political talks. now and again. As for my schooling, so if you think I'm an ignoramus, here's who to blame. I was actually a very good student all through elementary school, one of those teacher's pet kind of kids. Went to New York University back when they were still letting anybody in. And I still have resentment against Harvard and Yale, and I've ranted about this on the show. I always root against their football teams because when I applied to college, basically guided by my guidance counselor, who I guess had my best interest at heart, she said, all right, you want to be artistic, you want to be creative, you want to go to NYU, but, you know, you're saying you also want to go and try for the Ivy League. Go ahead. So I did. I applied to the two top colleges, Harvard and Yale, and they both rejected me. So to hell with them, and thank you, New York University, where I studied film and television and radio and then theater, did dramatic writing for a master's, and then plunged into the real world where, NYU was not so helpful. Maybe it would have been helpful if I was applying for a position on MTV's The Real World, and there my theatrical and film training might have helped. But when you gotta wear a suit and tie and get up at 6 in the morning and go do things that are meaningless, it's not quite the college to go to. So, I mean, I worked at a bank for a while. I worked for a couple of magazines, women's service magazines, where I was hoping to service more women than I did. I worked in advertising research, of all things, and did number crunching, which was unbelievably pointless. I remember when I got laid off from one place, I told the exit person, through gritted teeth, that, yeah, it was all right to leave because I didn't really believe in what I was doing. It kind of reminded me of the Monty Python sketch of an organization that does nothing except put things on top of other things. Although, actually, really, that's what I do here on this show. I just do it mentally in a bizarre kind of way. Anyway, I didn't give up the artistic stuff. You know, I did try to do some acting. I certainly did some playwriting. The Triple Wedding is a full-length play that you can buy if you want to. It's in a book that's on my website. I also had a play called Candide that was produced out in California and won an award and a bunch of one-acts that were staged and had readings off-Broadway and all kinds of things like that. Anyway, I know that doesn't interest you as much as the ladies. Yeah. Well, you know, in my 30s, just when I was really turning into a moderate chick magnet, well, not a magnet, more like chick doo-doo. I'd get stuck to their shoes for a while, and then they'd scrape me off. But met my wife through friends, very nice people named Joy and Bob, and we thank them so much for that. Met at one party, and kind of, sort of, were almost hitting it off, but I was sort of shy, and she was in school, and didn't really make the approach. And then a year and a half later, same people invited us to a different party. They were, you know, really pushing us together. And this time it worked, and we've been married for 6 years. My lovely wife, wonderful wife, Joyce. We don't have children, but we do have two magnificent, wonderful dachshund dogs. One is a smooth, red-haired, and his name is Murray, and the other is a goofy and wonderful wire-haired dog. Well, both, again, also a dachshund, although he looks incredibly like a terrier. His name is Oofty Goofed. And you can see them both on the website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. We also have two terrific little aquatic frogs, Ernest Borgnine, and, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the other name, and Margaret. Of course, she's sort of the semi-cute one. We also have 123 potatoes, but I won't go into that. Want to know about my sports predilections? I'll tell you now. I'm from the Mets, Jets, Islanders, sort of Knicks, you know, camp. Never a Yankee fan, although that year when they won 150 games or something, you kind of had a root for them. But, you know, I'm the kind of guy, would have been a Dodgers fan if they'd stuck around in Brooklyn. And I also like playing sports. I'm not very good at them, but I like to swim. I'm a really rotten tennis player, and I'm too lazy to get out there and do it every weekend, but I should, and have fun playing tennis with my good friend Piero, who lives around here. And I've tried golf, and I love it, and I'm so miserable. I think my handicap is about 150. And even drive a handicap bus on the links when I'm there. So that's just a really bad joke. So I'll move on to politics. I am, believe it or not, you know, from the sounds of things, if you've listened to the show, you'd think I was raving Democrat, because that's certainly how I've been painted by Joe Salzone, one of the other hosts here, who does a very conservative Republican radio show on Sunday nights. But no, I'm independent, usually Democrat, but I have voted Republican. God knows I'm going to be a Democrat this year. I'm of the ABB camp. Anything but Bush. You know, if they were going to take a human fingernail with, you know, a little bit of moisture on it, I would vote for that for president this coming year. As far as, you know, the issues that would make me one party or another, well, let's see, capital punishment, I'm not as 100% for it as I used to be, but I do think there are some crimes where the death penalty is absolutely considerable. Abortion, I'm extremely pro-choice. You know, I'm incredibly worried and incensed at John Ashcroft, first for this whole partial birth abortion thing, which, okay, I sort of understand. It's almost human, sort of, at that point, and you want to protect it. Maybe I'll grant you that leeway. But now you know his whole thing, and he's doing this with the death or the penalty for a crime of murder of a pregnant woman with a baby, or, no, not the baby dies. The fetus or the embryo dies with it, and they want to tack on as if that were another human life being taken. And I'm saying, look, killing a pregnant woman is really bad enough. Killing a woman, an innocent person, an innocent man is bad enough. Make the penalty so horrible for that that you don't have to double it by making believe there's sort of another full human being life that's been taken. Just do that, because obviously it isn't about really giving the criminal more punishment time. It's about trying to prove that embryos and fetuses are already human, and therefore disallowing abortion, and that's the whole Ashcroft thing. Okay, we'll get to that another time, but that's my position. Taxes, this being April 15th, and we all despise the tax man. Should we have more taxes, fewer taxes? I'm always of the mindset of doing more with the taxes we have. You know, I know Democrats are supposed to be tax and spend, but Long Island is already taxed up the bazoo. And George Bush's mania and the Republicans' mania for cutting taxes is always nice to hear, but it really isn't connected to anything else. I mean, what's the point of getting 1% back on your taxes if gasoline, heating oil, milk, healthcare, subways, buses, rails, now taxis, education, they're all going up 20%. Well, salaries stay the same or go down. So getting a couple of hundred back on a few taxes at the end of the year, it doesn't even compare as far as Iraq. Oh, boy, I spent most of the early parts of the season last year on this one. I said, get in, blow it up, get out. The reasons for going in were basically lies from the Bush administration. You know, people wanted to believe that Iraq was this immediate dangerous threat, and they wanted to really believe that it was connected to 9/11. Because that, if you really prove that, then hell's bells, go in there and change everything. But it's a mess, and it just doesn't have enough to do with 9/11. I won't even mind the deaths and the messiness that are coming on now over there if, again, it was really, really linked to September the 11th. As far as the FCC, well, this is a no-brainer because they've got no brains over there. I'm totally for freedom of the speech and of the press. If you don't like it, turn it off. I'm an artistic person, kind of a cultural person, not so much into nightclubs and clubs and dancing. More into books and plays, Kurt Vonnegut, Woody Allen, Neil Simon, reading David Copperfield, Long Day's Journey, Our Town, Broadway musicals, too. I'm not gay, but Broadway musicals, too, like Fiddler on the Roof and Sondheim musicals. Rock music, well, you'll hear all sorts on this program because it reflects everything I listen to, mostly rock and roll, things like Bob Dylan, Neil Young, Tom Waits, Joni Mitchell, Frank Zappa, Captain Beefheart, The Beatles, The Stones, Lou Reed, Amy Mann, The Psychedelic Furs. That's just, you know, iceberg tipping. Also goes to novelty music and opera and Indian music and Shlomo Carlbach. Yeah, we'll actually be doing Indian music next week. More about that at the end of the show. I love movies. You know, I went to NYU initially to be a movie maker. So favorite movies include The Marx Brothers, Duck Soup, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, The Producers, of course, To Kill a Mockingbird, Paris, Texas, Seven Beauties, Seven Seal. Don't have time. Don't even have time. Moving on. I like art. I don't go to museums as much as I should, although when I'm out of town, I try to. Favorite artists? Salvador Dali, Renoir, Magritte, Turner. It just sounds pretentious to rattle them off, so let me just say one more thing, that I love radio, and my radio influences include Howard Stern, Joe Franklin, Dr. Demento, Vin Scalza. I did some radio drama at NYU. I was a radio theater critic at WFUV. And now, here I am on WGBB with you on Dave's Gone By. And in a nutshell, for this nut, that's me. Back after this. If they asked me, I could write a book. Well, they did ask me, and I did write a book, a collection of my comedies called Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. If you like farce, there's The Triple Wedding. If you like dark comedy, there's Last Respects. If your taste runs to the absurd, Blind Date. Something for everyone in Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. $20 hardcover, $12 soft. Buy it now at 516-295-1511 or through the Days Gone By website.
If you love Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, and dance, isn't it time you subscribe to Performing Arts Insider, the ultimate guide to everything on the stages of New York? Listings, reviews, box office and production news, even Broadway rumors. To subscribe or get a sample issue, call 516-295-1511, 516-295-1511, or go to TotalTheater.com and click on Performing Arts Insider.
In an ideal world, Days Gone By would play 24/7, but I need my beauty sleep. Should you turn WGBB off when I'm not on? No way! Here are three other shows you should listen to. Long Island's Dating, an advice and interview program for singles hosted by Bobby D. Graham, kicking off the weekend, Friday nights at 6. The Mr. Redman Music Show, independent Long Island musicians and bands. Redman plays them first, and you get to vote, Saturday nights at 7:30. And Sunday nights, it's Your World with Joe Salzone, politics and current events from a conservative but open-minded perspective, Sunday nights at 7. So you see, if it can't be all Dave all the time, it can still be radio worth listening to. Long Island's Dating, Fridays at 6. Mr. Redman, Saturdays, 7:30 to 9. And, of course, Joe Salzone, Sunday nights at 7. And during the week, all sorts of Chinese people. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, sponsored by Berkshire Financial Group. You'll find them on the web at easymoney.com. And you'll find Dave's Gone By on the radio Thursday nights at 7 on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com. It is Thursday, April 15th, 2004. Time for the News Gone By, a look at events of the past week from a tax-exempt perspective. In economic news, for the second week in a row, gas prices hit another record. According to the Associated Press, the nationwide average rate for gas of all grades has risen to $1.82. That is up 31 cents a gallon since December. The worst prices are on the West Coast and, guess what, the Northeast. And prices are expected to go up a little more and pretty much stay there all through the summer driving season. Now, there are two reasons for the recent price jump. One, the domestic oil reserves are down this year, and two, don't forget that in the Middle East, we are at the mercy of a cabal of shifty, greedy, price-fixing millionaires who have nothing but contempt for America. And Halliburton aside, there's also OPEC. In religious news, well, art not only influences life, but art also influences art. And rightly or wrongly, Mel Gibson's controversial blockbuster, The Passion of the Christ, seems to have had an effect on other forms of religious entertainment. According to Newsday, parents and children were aghast at an Easter pageant last week in Glassport, Pennsylvania. Apparently, the Glassport Assembly of God, which put on the pageant, wanted to show that Easter wasn't just about egg hunts and peeps and chocolate rabbits. It's about Jesus and the crucifixion. So, one segment of the production showed the Easter Bunny being whipped, with the other actors breaking his eggs. One audience member told Newsday the show also featured a drunken man and a self-mutilating woman, and the other actors announcing, There is no Easter Bunny. It was very disturbing, she said, quote, I couldn't believe what I saw. It wasn't anything I was expecting. Another woman regretted that she brought her 4-year-old son, saying, quote, he was crying and asking me why the bunny was being whipped, unquote. For her part, the woman playing the Easter Bunny said the theater company wanted to be irreverent while also reminding people of the true Easter story. She also said that their next production, The Night Before Christmas, will show Santa Claus being flayed while dragging his sack of gifts across the desert, while the other reindeer cut off Rudolph's nose and nail his antlers to a tree. Speaking of Easter violence, here's a story from the Weird But True column published locally in the New York Post. Kids on an Easter egg hunt in Flint, Michigan, were poking around on the grounds of an elementary school. They didn't find colored eggs, but they did find 2 loaded handguns, one of which went off when they picked it up. Nobody got hurt. Police are still searching for the owner of the firearms, though witnesses report they saw an 8-foot rabbit running through an alley and stashing 3 crack pipes under a bonnet. Also in religious news, Jewish leaders are upset at a continuing practice of the Mormon Church in Salt Lake City. The Mormons believe you can baptize somebody posthumously to save their souls in the afterlife. In the ceremony, a living Mormon will stand in for the deceased. It's assumed that the dead person's closest living relative approves of the baptism, but with its family tree database of 400 million names, the Mormon Church has gone a little bap-happy. For years, they've been baptizing Jewish Holocaust victims. Isn't that lovely? Either they think those victims are ancestrally related to Mormons, or they just want to keep the dead Jews from going to hell. Either way, they are reneging on a promise they made in 1995 to cease and desist, said one rabbi and a founder of the L.A. Wiesenthal Center, quote, it's ridiculous for these people to pretend that they have the key to heaven. Even if they say they want to do somebody a favor, it is not a symbol of love, it's a symbol of arrogance, unquote. Which is why Jewish groups are considering a lawsuit against the Mormon Church to stop these unholy confirmations. If that doesn't work, they will try the next best thing, finding terminally ill Mormons and forcing them to buy their cemetery plots retail.
But you can talk to hell, a manager, what it's all about. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But people would poison, people would stare. I always be here to protect you and to cut down the glare. I know you can't speak, I know you can't find. So cry right here on the dotted line. Hell, hell. Kid a promise, I made a kid a vow. He's not conventionally handsome, he'll never be tall. He said, all I got to do is go to Carnegie Hall. Ooh. He's just a little bitter thing, he's just a little guy. When women go crazy for a big blue eye. How does he dream? How does he think? When he can't even speak, and he can't even blink.
In fashion news, well, I'm fine with pierced ears and I don't mind unusual haircuts or dye jobs. I don't like tattoos, but to each his own. And piercing things like tongues and belly buttons and penis and clitoris, well, thanks, but no thanks. But now, there's something new. According to Reuters, the latest fashion trend to hit the Netherlands is eyeball jewelry. I'll repeat that. Eyeball jewelry. Dutch eye surgeons implant a tiny jewel eye in the mucous membrane of the human eye. The cost is a little over $1,000 to implant a heart-shaped or moon-shaped object right on the white of your eyeball. 6 surgeries have been done so far with no complications or side effects. Although one woman with an eye ring was seriously injured, she caught her fiancé cheating and detached her retina, throwing the ring at his face. In sporting news, congratulations to a very lucky idiot. Ashley Revel, a 32-year-old British man, sold all his possessions, everything he had, and then went to Las Vegas. He took $135,000, and he put it all, every cent, on red. The roulette wheel spun, the crowd roared, and he walked away with double his money. Revel's father told the press he was against the gamble, saying, quote, "He shouldn't have done it. He's a naughty boy. I've got four other kids, and now they'll all want to go the same way," unquote. Asked what he would have done had the ball landed on black, Revel said he would have continued playing roulette until he hit. Of course, in that case, it would have been Russian roulette, but time for a little toilet humor on the news gone by. The Daily News reports that despite a pledge by Mayor Bloomberg to fix broken bathrooms in New York City public schools, hundreds of toities are still in awful disrepair. Stalls without doors, bowls that don't flush, obscene graffiti. Schools estimate it will take $300 million to fix and update the city's ancient plumbing facilities. Mayor Bloomberg has promised $30 million towards the worst of the worst, and he said on his weekly radio show last summer that calls to the 311 government hotline about the issue would bring instant results. He even promised, quote, "You may rest assured, if I have to go and fix it myself, it will be done today," unquote. Well, we have yet to see Mayor Mike on his knees with a plunger and a flush valve, which is why one parent at a Queens vocational school told the Daily News, quote, "My kids won't use the bathrooms at all because they're so bad. The children come home jumping in their pants," unquote. Upon hearing this, Michael Jackson donated $100 million on the condition that he could watch. Speaking of things intestinal, a new study out of South Carolina Medical University shows that virtual colonoscopies may not be as accurate as one thought. Initial studies promoting the procedure were based on just one hospital. The newer study shows that virtual colonoscopies diagnosed larger polyps only 55 times out of 100, and they were only 40% accurate finding small polyps. Dr. Peter Cotton, who led the new study, said the findings will definitely, quote, "throw cold water on the new method, but don't count progress out. I suspect that in 5 years' time," he said, "with better software and training, this will become a useful technique," unquote. I agree. I just think it's a shame to find the AMA falling behind in growth instead of finding growths the falling behinds. No, but the really funny part is that the AM New York newspaper reports that in the latest study, quote, "the patients underwent virtual colonoscopy first, then traditional colonoscopy on the same day," unquote. The same day? Man, who's running this study? Dr. Mengele? I mean, screw John Wayne. That is the definition of toughness. Two butt scopes before sundown. And who volunteered for that regimen? And, you know, then they do the easy one first. That's what's strange. You figured they'd get Godzilla out of the way and then worry about Cujo. But no, not these guys. You know, it's like first they do the fishing line, then the garden hose. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to have a root canal in the morning, then I'll rest for an hour, and then I'll get some kids to kick me in the face. Here's another weird but true story. Patrons of a nude beach in Canada are enraged at the University of British Columbia. Why? Because the college has plans to build a dorm on a cliff overlooking the site. Beachgoers are worried that if the university does go through with the plan, the students will use binoculars and webcams to destroy their privacy. If the university doesn't go through with the plan, well, I'm stopping my enrollment check immediately. Speaking of which, results of a study by the American Cancer Society show that frequent sex and masturbation do not increase the risk of cancer in men. This contradicts a previous study, one that seemed to suggest that lots of nookie exposed men to more germs and viruses. But the new study not only shows no difference in the cancer rate between men who had almost no sex and those who had one or two ejaculations a week. Not only that, men who let off more than 13 splooges a month actually reduced their cancer risk. Doctors say that's because ejaculations flush out the calcifications linked to prostate trouble. But before you go milking the otter, let's be clear that this new treatise is a little too small to make a definitive case for a more sex, less cancer lifestyle, especially since there was so much difficulty reading the study because the pages were all stuck together. Some sad celebrity news. Condolences to Weird Al Yankovic, who lost both of his elderly parents this weekend. His dad was 86, his mom 81 with Alzheimer's. Now, they had built a fire in their fireplace and forgot to open the flue. The house filled with smoke and carbon monoxide, and that was it. Neighbors had only kind things to say about Mr. and Mrs. Yankovic. The father was a decorated war veteran, so obviously they're both going to heaven and will meet St. Peter and God and... Oh, wait. When young Al asked for music lessons, they gave him an accordion. I hope Satan is kind. No, but Al used his parents in a couple of videos and on his Saturday morning TV show. I don't think he ever wrote a song about them, although he did write one tune lampooning the conventions of parenthood in general. That whole spiel of, oh, I had it so much worse than you when I was a kid, blah, blah, blah. So this is from the Off the Deep End album, and in memory of Weird Al's mom and dad, here's Alfred Matthew Yankovic, When I Was Your Age. Weird Al Yankovic on the Dave's Gone By. Again, condolences. And continuing with the last couple of pieces of news, some food news. Two gay waiters at the fancy Manhattan restaurant Town are suing the owners and other staffers for sexual harassment. The men charge that busboys would make anti-gay remarks while, paradoxically, grabbing the guys' buttocks and crotches. The plaintiffs also accuse the general manager of constantly hitting on them, and worst of all, the sommelier would allegedly take wine bottles and shove them in their butts from behind while saying, "Is it big enough for you? Maybe you're used to magnum size." Now, in his defense, the sommelier said the waiters were overly sensitive, and besides, a trained maitre d' should be able to tell a fine Chablis from a tepid Merlot just by swishing it around his anal rim. And as for champagne, well, what's the point of being gay if you're still using your hands to pop the cork? But finally, in the news gone by, bad luck for a Hong Kong man who was calling his boss to say he'd be late for work. When he pressed the button to hang up, the phone exploded into pieces. The man's ears were cut by slivers of flying phone parts. Ironically, his boss then said, "Can you hear me now?" And that's the news gone by for April 15th, 2004. Please send your comments, opinions, and inconclusive colonoscopy results to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. Dave's Gone By, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062, or email us at davesgoneby@aol.com. And if you want to hear older versions of the News Gone By, remember that they are now available on CD. Find out more by visiting the website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. And please, write to me. Let me know you're out there listening, laughing, petitioning the FCC for my garroting. It's all good. Dave's Gone By@AOL.com. And as always, we reserve the right to read any comments you make on the air, name withheld upon request. So, send suggestions, compliments, complaints, but please, no exploding cell phones, unless you're using AT&T. Back after this.
Okay, folks, you've all seen the news. The economy is picking up, but inflation's also starting to rise, and we may have seen the bottoming out of interest rates. If you've been waiting for the last minute to buy that house, refinance that mortgage, or lock in that home equity loan, this is the last minute. In fact, it's past the last minute. The last minute was a minute ago. But it's not too late. Not if you have Berkshire Financial Group on your side. At Berkshire Financial, it's all about customer service. It's all about caring for the client. And they do it by meeting your financial needs. Berkshire Financial Group is a licensed mortgage banker in New York State, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Connecticut banking departments. If you go to their website, easymoney.com, you can read their mission statement. Yes, they mention having competitive rates and up-to-date technology, but the president of the company also stresses in the last paragraph, quote, "We have instilled a sense of integrity and loyalty in our staff. That's what makes Berkshire different from all the other bankers. It's why you should contact them instead of some too-good-to-be-true TV offer or some newspaper ad that has fine print you can't read without a microscope. Berkshire Financial gives you the rate, the care, and the quality. Log on to their website, easymoney.com, and see what they can do for you, whether it's home improvements, mortgage reductions, or buying your first condo. You can even pop some numbers into their mortgage calculator and see for yourself what Berkshire Financial Group can do for you. They have a toll-free number, 866-500-5055. That's 866-500-5055. Visit their Staten Island office and mention Dave's Gone By for a cute free gift. Not free mortgage, just a pen or a bag or something, but something cute. 866-500-5055. Berkshire Financial Group. Putting your needs first. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, our closing moments, and I have so many people to thank, and of course I haven't left nearly enough time to thank them all, so I'm going to do it real quick. I want to thank my beloved and wonderful wife, Joyce. I want to thank some of the folks on this radio station. Bonnie D. Graham, Friday nights at 6. Mr. Redman, Saturday nights at 7:30 with his music show. Joe Salzone, Sunday nights at 7. Spend Your World with him. I want to thank our fantastic new sponsor, Berkshire Financial Group, 866-500-5055, for all your mortgage banking needs. I want to thank the Tondora Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center. Go to them at tondoragrill.com to see the menu. It's in the delicious. And hey, mention Dave's Gone By, and you get 10% off your check. Hewlett Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway, 516-569-5577. TurtleTheater.com and the Theater Guy Performing Arts Insider Magazine. God, I'll leave more time next time for all these thank yous. Because that does it for the 72nd episode of Dave's Gone By. But tune in next Thursday. Is going to be very cool because this weekend I'm seeing a concert in New Jersey with legendary Indian ballad singer Jagjit Singh. So I'm going to have an out-of-cultural experience, which I'll report back on and play some music next time. I told you, every Dave's Gone By is a little different. You got to tune in to find out how. So look for us next Thursday night, 7 p.m. Until then, don't miss your Dave's Gone By. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. The weekend is only a day away. And gone by.
I will go on my way and jump the hedges first. Drink the clear, clean water for to quench my thirst. And I will watch the ferry boats and they'll get high. Against the blue ocean, against the tomorrow sky. And I will walk and talk in gardens all wet with spring. I never, ever, never, ever get so old again. Sweet thing. Thank you.